A Contra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of A Contra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, if you're like most people, you have this private inner world, a voice inside, maybe a stream of thought, a subjective feeling of being you.
Mm-hmm.
We call it consciousness. And yeah, it's often described as maybe the single greatest still unsolved mystery in science.
And that's usually where the conversation kind of hits a wall, doesn't it? It either goes way philosophical or just overwhelmingly complex.
Exactly.
But today we're diving into a source that tries to, well, cut through a lot of that mysticism. Zoltan Torey's really important work, The Conscious Mind.
Right. Torey, he doesn't buy into this idea that consciousness is some impenetrable, hard problem.
Mm.
He actually argues it's solvable. So our mission today for this deep dive is to really unpack his argument, which is pretty radical.
It is.
That consciousness isn't some, you know, ethereal side effect of having a complex brain, but a specific concrete mechanism, something grounded in neurobiology and evolution.
It's a fundamental shift, really, moving from just asking what is consciousness to asking what is consciousness for? What's its job? And by giving us this functional model, a kind of blueprint, Torey offers, well, potentially testable answers that affect how you understand everything from planning your day to your own sense of identity.
Okay, but before we really get into the nuts and bolts of the theory itself, we really have to talk about the author, Zoltan Torey. Because his own life story isn't just background color. It's kind of the foundation for his whole perspective.
Oh, absolutely. Zoltan Torey, who lived from 1928 to 2020, was this fascinating blend, an intellectual hybrid, you could say. He actually started out training in the humanities, drama, and linguistics specifically.
Sight.
Yeah, but then later in life, he switched gears and earned a doctorate in psychology and neuroscience. So he was looking at the brain from, well, multiple angles.
But the defining event, the thing that really shaped his life's work, happened when he was just 21. A terrible industrial accident that left him completely blind.
And that is just crucial information here. Losing your external senses, especially sight, which is, you know, our main way of building a picture of reality, it forced him to rely almost entirely on his internal conceptual model of the world.
Wow.
He had to consciously construct and maintain his sense of space, of reality, using basically memory, logic, and these linguistic frameworks he developed.
So in a way, he became this living experiment, a demonstration of the brain's power to keep an internal reality simulation going, even when the main data stream from the outside world was just cut off.
Exactly.
He proved how stable that inner world could be because he had to navigate it, survive within it every single day.
Mm.
And that experience, well, gives his ideas a kind of profound weight, doesn't it?
It gives him an unparalleled insider's view, you could say.
Yeah.
He wasn't just theorizing about this mental space. He was actively, constantly living inside it, which is quite different.
Okay, so that brings us right to the core idea of the conscious mind. If Torey sees consciousness as this biological adaptation, a tool, what exactly is the tool? What drives it?
His main thesis is remarkably straightforward, actually. Consciousness is a specialized problem-solving tool, and the software that runs it, according to him, is language.
Language.
Like
talking.
Well, yes and no. He specifically means linguistically structured thought. The internal syntax, the concepts, the grammar we use inside our heads to organize information and run scenarios.
Okay, so the goal of the book, then, is to pull consciousness out of the clouds of philosophy, maybe, and plant it firmly in testable functional biology. What was the evolutionary point? Why develop this complex language-driven consciousness?
Survival advantage. Pure and simple. Consciousness, in this view, evolved to let humans detach from the immediate sensory world, the here and now.
Get unstuck from the present moment.
Oh, precisely. And that detachment lets us do incredible things. Reflect on past events, plan really complex future actions, coordinate huge strategic efforts like, you know, organizing a group hunt or building a settlement.
Yeah, you can't plan an ambush 3 days from now if you're only reacting to what's right in front of your nose. You need that internal workspace to simulate it first.
That's exactly the idea. And this makes the book really appealing if you're intellectually curious but maybe frustrated with explanations that either make the mind seem like magic or, on the other hand, reduce it so much that they can't explain subjective experience. Torey says, look, it's complex, definitely, but it's entirely functional and understandable.
Okay, so to explain how it functions, Torey starts with a really fundamental distinction between what most animals experience and what humans experience. He calls it the dual modes of operation.
Yes, and this distinction is absolutely foundational to his whole model. He separates awareness or sentience, which he calls the online state, from true consciousness, which he labels the offline state.
The online state. That seems fairly intuitive. It's just immediate sensory processing, right? Reacting to the environment in real time. Like, my dog sees a squirrel, he chases it. Very adaptive, yeah. Very reactive. Lots of animals have this. Keeps you alive moment to moment.
Exactly. But the offline state, that's the game changer. This is what he argues is the uniquely human capacity for reflective thought. When you're in the offline state, your brain isn't prioritizing the immediate sensory stuff coming in. Instead, it's operating mainly on its own stored information.
Oh, yeah.
And this allows for introspection, for planning, for imagination.
Yeah.
You can be completely disconnected from what's actually happening around you, sometimes for long stretches while you're thinking.
Right, okay. But I find myself asking how. How does the brain do that? How does it make that jump from just reacting online to the sustained abstract thinking offline?
And that's where his concept of the linguistic engine comes powering in. Language, again, that internal structured thought, isn't just for talking to each other. Torrey argues it's the fundamental mechanism that allows the brain to switch into and operate in that offline state.
So he's really pushing back on the idea that words are just labels for things we see.
Oh, completely. For Torrey, words are incredibly powerful symbols. Think about it. The word tiger doesn't just point to the animal. It compresses this huge amount of information, its appearance, its behavior, the danger, its habitat, maybe cultural stories about it, all into one single manipulable unit.
Right.
And the brain can then shuffle these conceptual units around, like building blocks, in that offline mental space.
And the really revolutionary part, it seems, isn't just the words themselves, the vocabulary, but the structure we put them into, the grammar.
Absolutely. The rules of grammar, the syntax, that's the engine of the simulator. Syntax is what lets us connect these symbols logically, conditionally, across time. You can't just react to a possible drought next year. You need syntax to formulate the complex thought. If we don't store more water now, then we might face hardship later. See? That sentence runs a whole mini simulation of a future conditional state.
Which allows you to act now to prevent it. It's like a mental time machine, basically, powered by grammar. Okay, so if this linguistic engine is running these complex simulations, what does the overall output look like? What does it create?
The output is the creation of this stable, coherent internal model of the world. And this is the conscious mind, which Torrey famously describes as a kind of virtual reality VR simulator.
A VR simulator.
Yeah. This is the mental stage, the internal theater, where all your reflection, your planning, your worrying, your daydreaming happens. And it can run whether your eyes are open or closed, whether you're paying attention to the outside world or not.
That's a really powerful analogy. The brain's always running its own VR.
Yeah.
And within that VR, the brain eventually figures out how to model not just the outside world, but also its own internal processes.
That's the crucial step. He calls this self-representation. It's recursive self-monitoring. Consciousness, in Torrey's view, really emerges when the brain turns that powerful simulation capacity inward onto itself. When the brain represents its own activity to itself, that internal feedback loop, that self-awareness, that's where subjectivity, the feeling of being an I, comes from.
Okay, so once you have that self-awareness humming along, the system needs a central character, right?
Yeah.
An agent to make sense of the past and project into the future within this VR simulation.
Exactly. And so the self, or the I, is therefore a narrative construct. It's not some pre-existing soul or entity sitting in the brain. It's more like the protagonist in the brain's ongoing, constantly updated story. It's the thread maintained by the linguistic mind that connects past memories and future goals into a coherent sense of identity.
Okay, so if the self is the main character in a biological story the brain tells itself, how does Torrey handle the very strong human feeling of having free will? Does that just disappear?
He doesn't dismiss it, but he definitely demystifies it. For Torrey, the experience of free will is the brain's actual biological ability to use that offline VR simulator to generate and then evaluate multiple possible future actions.
The what-if scenario.
Exactly. All those what-if-I-do-this versus what-if-I-do-that simulations. The feeling we call choosing is the subjective experience of running those simulations and settling on one course of action based on that internal deliberation. So it's a real functional kind of freedom, but it's grounded entirely in this biological simulation process, not magic.
That gives us a lot to think about. Okay, let's try to boil this down. What are the really big key themes we should take away from Torrey's model?
Well, theme one, I think, is this idea of materialist reductionism without losing the meaning. Torrey shows that understanding consciousness as this incredible language-powered biological tool doesn't make it less wonderful. If anything, it makes it more awe-inspiring because it's a biological function we can actually study and understand. It's not, you know, spooky stuff.
Yeah, that's a really important shift, especially maybe when thinking about our own mental states. Like if you reframe anxiety, for instance, not as some ultimate truth about reality, but as a brain-generated model, a simulation of a potential threat, well, maybe you realize the simulation isn't the territory. That gives you some leverage, maybe some distance.
Absolutely. Okay, theme two is reinforcing that crucial distinction, the qualitative difference between awareness and consciousness. We talked about the online versus offline states. Many, many creatures have rich, complex online awareness. They react intelligently to their world. But the ability to go offline, to build and manipulate complex ideas using language internally, that, Torrey argues, is the qualitative leap that really defines human consciousness.
Right, which helps us appreciate the profound difference between, say, a dog that feels happy to see you, online awareness, and a human who can sit and ponder their own existence 10 years from now, offline consciousness. They're just different kinds of processing.
Exactly. And finally, theme three, the narrative construction of the self. This is maybe the most empowering idea. Your identity, your sense of who you are, isn't some fixed essential thing. It's the lead character in the story. Your brain is constantly writing and rewriting, using your past to project your future.
That is pure agency, isn't it? If the self is a narrative, a story, it means you actually have the power to consciously look at the plot, the themes, the recurring motifs in that story, and you can start to intentionally, well, rewrite parts of it to build an internal world that feels more resilient or resourceful or maybe just more aligned with who you want to be.
Torrey was really good at capturing these big ideas in memorable ways. We should probably touch on a few of the key phrases or concepts that really stand out.
Yeah, good idea. First, that functional separation. The brain has two modes of operation, online, which is the state of immediate sensory awareness, and offline, a uniquely human state of linguistically structured thought. That just clearly draws the line, biologically speaking.
Mm-hmm. And his explanation for subjectivity, it's so elegant. Consciousness is not what the brain does, but what it is when it represents its own activity to itself. It basically frames subjectivity as this act of recursive self-modeling. Simple concept, profound implications.
My favorite, I think, is the one that just elevates language completely. Mm-hmm. Language is not for talking, it's for thinking. It forces you to see our main communication tool as actually our main thinking tool, the architecture itself.
Yeah. And this model isn't just abstract theory. It has some really powerful connections to real life applications. Let's start with, say, psychology, especially something like cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT.
Okay, yeah. How does it connect?
Well, Torrey's model gives us a potential why behind CBT's effectiveness. If the self is a narrative construct and psychological distress often involves maladaptive or self-defeating stories or linguistic models we build about ourselves and the world, then CBT is essentially the process of helping someone identify and consciously edit those problematic stories.
You're tweaking the software running the VR simulator.
Exactly. You're helping rewrite the narrative. Mm. It also gives us a different way to think about the challenge of artificial intelligence, especially artificial general intelligence, AGI.
How so?
Torrey's framework implies that true human-like AI won't just come from faster processors or bigger data sets. It would require an architecture capable of building its own grounded, self-referential, language-based internal model of the world, a genuine VR simulator that includes a model of itself. That's a fundamentally deeper challenge than what current large language models are doing, which is more like sophisticated pattern matching.
Right. They mimic conversation, but they don't necessarily have that internal self-aware simulation running. Okay, what about creativity or learning?
Well, if deep thought is essentially running simulations in our mental VR, then creativity could be seen as the act of running novel simulations, maybe counterfactual ones, what-if scenarios that haven't happened or seem unlikely, playing in that internal sandbox. Oh. And learning, then, isn't just about memorizing facts. Real, deep understanding in any subject, whether it's physics or history or coding, is about building a robust, flexible, internal model of that subject within your VR. A model that lets you simulate outcomes, solve new problems, and make predictions within that domain.
This whole deep dive, it's really shifted how I think about my own internal chatter, you know. What really struck me, I think, was realizing how Torrey's blindness wasn't actually a disadvantage for his theory. It was almost the ultimate proof point.
Mm.
He lived the evidence that the conscious mind, the VR simulator, is powerful enough to maintain a coherent reality even when the main sensory input, sight, is completely gone. The internal model sustains itself.
Yeah, that's incredibly powerful. And for me, I think the most valuable thing I'm taking away is just the sense of liberation that comes from demystifying the mind a bit. It's somehow comforting to think that consciousness isn't this untouchable miracle, but rather this magnificent, intricate biological trick.
A trick.
Well, yeah, the brain basically learning to use its most powerful tool language to talk to itself. And in doing so, it creates this entire rich internal universe. It's amazing. But maybe not fundamentally mysterious.
A magnificent trick. I like that. So if Tori's right, and perhaps the most profound discovery is that your own sense of self is this dynamic story, this narrative your brain is constantly writing, maybe the question for you, the listener, is what conscious choices will you make today or tomorrow to help build a more empowering, more resilient internal world? See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.